Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We believe God wants to speak into your life through this message. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and find us on Instagram and Facebook at CelebrationEDM. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this message.
You know, you and I were made to connect with others, not just like it'd be a good idea or anything like that, but you and I were literally created to have connection. That's just part of being human. That's just part of how God made us. Did you know that even if you have a baby and that baby is fed and all that is taken care of, but they are deprived of meaningful relational connections and attachments and bond and all the rest of it, that they will not grow as they should? It will actually impact the development of their brain in a negative way to not have that kind of human connection. In fact, it's so evident that the babies are born that way and wired for connection. I mean, it's literally from the beginning of life. Babies come out of the womb. What's the first thing they do? Looking for that connection and looking for that comfort and security. The need for connection is there even before birth. It's literally from the womb to the tomb that there is that need for connection in our life. Research shows that over and over again, people trying to reach goals succeed at a much greater rate if they are connected to a strong human support system, that they have others around them. The probability of reaching your goals is much higher. Research has also shown that when the elderly have suffered something like a heart attack or a stroke, they have lower reoccurrence and a much better probability of recovery when they are joined to a support group as opposed to being alone. Ask anybody about the greatest accomplishment that has ever happened in their life, and their story will include somebody else. Somebody else will be in the story. There'll be something about what somebody else did for them somehow that impacted the success of their life. Their story is a success, but it's also a story about connection. It's also a story about relationship. How powerful then are the impacts of the relationships that we have in our life? Well, psychologists have found that relationships can impact us both qualitatively as well as quantitatively in ways such as how long you live, whether you reach or don't reach your goals, whether you can close sales, how well your kids do in school, how much you trust people, how you cope with stress and how you cope with failure, what kind of mood that you're in, how much physical pain you can handle, how and what you think, which is most important to what we're talking about today, how and what you think is impacted by the relationships that you connect with in your world, in your life. Our connections impact our state of mind. Your entire experience of life is going to be significantly determined by the connections that you make around you. Simply put, you are at your best when connected to the right people. You do better. You are better. You excel. You move past your fears. You break limits off of your life. You just go further and do more with the right connection of relationships around you. And here's the other thing. You think at a higher level and you make wiser decisions by having the right relationships around you. You reach your highest potential because of the community that you develop around you. On the other hand, isolation makes you devil bait. It really does. Satan can eat your lunch if you live an isolated life, disconnected from others. It just opens you up to where now all of a sudden your thoughts go to accusations, go to depression, discouragement, deception, dumb ideas, that can float through your head, despair and confusion. Those things can just live inside of you and your mind can just foster more and more of that when you live in isolation. There are all sorts of ways that your life can unnecessarily get off track just because you live in independence and are not connected to the right people. You think about it even from the scriptures and the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Here's this son who decides, I think I could make a better life by separating myself from my family, not by staying in relationship. And so he takes his inheritance, he leaves. What does he do? He makes the worst choices for his life living in independence. When he separates himself, he makes all kinds of bad decisions. He literally makes a mess out of his life. And then this Bible says this, he comes to his senses. In other words, he kind of wakes up to the reality, I'm making a lot of dumb choices that have gotten me into this mess. I need to go back home. I need to reconnect with those important people in my world. Proverbs 18:1 says this, he who separates himself seeks his own desire, and he quarrels against all sound wisdom. In other words, it's not just, oh, I just want to do it my way, or I just want to do it alone. It's more than that. It's about giving pushback to people who could be speaking wisdom into your world. And in the context of isolation, you have separated yourself not only from them, but you've separated yourself from wisdom and now are making the wrong choices, going with your own desires. Listen, when people start to posture themselves against the community, the God-given community around them, and claim, oh, everybody's wrong, you just don't understand me, things like this, typically they're about to make some stupid choices with their life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, the scripture says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up. Hey, you and I were built to have a connection with the right relationships around us. Your life is better because of those relationships. Now, a lot of times we think about relationships and where our mind is at, and the attention can kind of be on, yeah, I know these different people and they've really helped me here and helped me there. But there's another side to this that I want to talk about before we get into that a little bit. And that is this. Serving others positively impacts your mental health. Serving others positively impacts your mental health. It's not just about connecting with people because of what you're going to receive. It's also about what others can, it's also about what you can do for others that will actually end up impacting you. Research shows that the brain gets happy when it's involved in giving without the expectation of a return. In other words, volunteering makes you have a happy brain. And who doesn't want a happy brain, okay? Dr. John Townsend said it this way. He said, when we do something for another just because they need it or and are without, our brain releases oxytocin, the cuddle hormone. Oxytocin is a mood elevator, and it makes us feel more positive and more hopeful. So if you want to do drugs, you just need to volunteer. And it'll make you more positive, and it'll make you hopeful, okay? Jesus said it like this, Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Love your enemies and do good and lend, listen, expecting nothing in return. In other words, just do it as a volunteer. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Jesus said, listen, love your enemies, do good, lend. And he said, do all of that expecting nothing in return. Connecting with others in your life isn't simply about friendship and advice. It's also about you having an outlet for serving people because it's good for you. For taking your attention off of yourself and then putting it on others. Think about that. When we begin to serve others, when we engage in volunteering in some way, however we do that, it takes our attention off of ourselves. And that's such a healthy thing. You know, you think about it, if you're discouraged and you don't have an outlet to do something like that, to put your attention on somebody else, here's your tendency. Your tendency is just to think about your discouragement. Your tendency will be to think about what it is that's frustrating you, what's bothering you, what's upsetting you, what's making you feel down, and you'll just kind of live in that. But the moment you decide, you know what, I am going to put my attention on somebody else's need. I'm going to serve somebody else. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to get out of myself. Here's what happens. You take your attention off of your discouragement and you put it on meeting somebody else's need. Now, instead of fueling and fostering more thoughts about discouragement and keeping your brain in that, you know, place of discouragement and depression, instead what happens is you start feeling better. Why? Because you took your mind off of all of that discouragement instead of just meditating in it. You know, research as early as actually this year suggests that volunteers who spend about 2 hours a week volunteering reap both mental and physical health benefits. And here's their top 10 list. A lower risk of mortality, fewer physical functioning limitations, higher levels of physical activity, better psychosocial outcomes. That's a mouthful, that word, psychosocial outcomes. More frequent contact with friends, less loneliness, increased optimism, more robust sense of purpose in life, less hopelessness, and fewer depressive symptoms. Listen, 6 out of 10 of the benefits of taking 2 hours a week and volunteering, taking your attention off yourself and putting it on doing something for others, actually have mental well-being implications, can affect our thinking, can affect where our headspace is at. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Good works are not just good for the recipient, but they're actually good for you, the volunteer. And sometimes the best thing that we can do for our own mental health is to actually stop thinking about ourselves, turn our attention on somebody else, some other need, something outside of ourselves, turn our attention on others, and serve them. Listen, the next time that you're down, find somebody else to build up. Find somebody else to serve. Why? What are you going to do? You're going to get that oxy, you know, whatever going on in your brain, get your brain happy because you're taking your attention off of yourself. Listen, the next time you're discouraged, why don't you go share Jesus with somebody? You can't not be happy after doing that. It's not who you know, it's who you listen to. It's not who you know, it's who you listen to. Naaman from the scriptures was a warrior, served the king, and he was really valued, but he has leprosy. So there's an arrangement for him to go meet with the prophet Elijah. He goes and meets with the prophet, and he's thinking, you know, I'm a pretty important guy. I'm going to meet with the prophet. The prophet's going to come out and probably just say a prayer, and I'll be healed. And instead, the prophet comes out and says, you need to go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. The Jordan River was a dirty, muddy river. And so this is what he tells him to do. Well, Naaman gets upset by all of this. After all, his pride just got humbled. His ego just got touched. He's offended that he's being treated this way, and he's angry. So here's all this emotion going on. And then in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 13, the servant speaks up. It says, "Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, had the prophet told you to do something great, some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?'" The servant helped Naaman get out of his feelings so that he could make a rational decision. If he'd have stayed stuck in the feelings of pride and anger and I'm offended and all the rest of it, he'd have missed out on what God had for him. Lucky for him, he had the right person in his life who said the right thing, and he listened to him when he asked the question, if you were told to do a great thing, you would have done it. How much more if he's asking you to do a simple thing? Listen, when we're in our feelings, we are often not at our best when it comes to rational, wise choices about our life. I can't think of a time when it was like, okay, I'm offended, but I'm about to make a really smart choice right now. It just doesn't work. I'm angry, and so I'm going to say something that's really going to be helpful for my future. That just doesn't work, does it? You've got to get out of your feelings in order to get into being rational and smart and all the rest of it. But if you're stuck in fear and anxiety and anger and offense, these emotions don't support your best decisions. The servant's statement, his question actually, released Naaman from all of those emotions and brought about clarity to his thinking to where he could act in a rational manner, and he ended up being healed. Who are the people that we need to listen to? We need to listen to people who can help us process our emotions. Here's another story. Esther. The book of Esther tells the story of Esther who becomes a queen in the midst of a time when there's a scheme to wipe out Israel. It's about to be a genocide. Esther had a voice in her life in the form of her uncle Mordecai. And it was Mordecai's exhortation to Esther that actually helped her make the right decision in that moment. It was a moment of fear for her because the idea of speaking up could jeopardize her life. But Mordecai actually brought to Esther the only perspective that made sense at that time. That's what he brought her. That was his gift. It was about to be a genocide to Israel. They're about to be wiped out. Esther has access to the king so she could speak up and do something about it, but she's in fear. And then Uncle Morty points something out. Esther chapter 4, verse 14, here's what he says. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. Then he asks the question, who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? You know, it was that perspective that Mordecai shared to Esther that actually influenced her thinking to realize, I need to act and I need to act now. Mordecai was seeing things from a perspective that Esther could not see in that moment. She just couldn't see it. Who do I need to listen to? Who do you need to listen to? We need to listen to people who can give us another perspective of thought that we've never thought of. Value those people that can come and say, have you thought about it this way? And hear another perspective that will help us to see things in a way that will help us to make the right choices. Another story, Timothy and Paul, another relationship, brother. Paul is the senior minister in this relationship. Timothy is the junior. He's just getting started. But Paul is there encouraging Timothy. He's telling him, hey, listen, you are gifted. You have a great lineage of faith in your family. Your mom was a believer. Your grandmother was a believer. You know what? Don't be concerned about your age. Don't be intimidated by the fact that you're young. And then he tells him at one point, you know what? God doesn't give you a spirit of fear. He gives you one of love, power, and a sound mind. So don't let fear dominate you. That's not coming from the Lord. Paul was telling Timothy all these things. And here's what he was not telling him to do. He was not trying to give him a word of wisdom. He wasn't trying to give him a word of direction either, like we saw with Naaman and Esther. Instead, here's what Paul was doing. He was speaking to the kind of influences that can impact our choices in life. He was speaking to Timothy about self-image and faith and intimidation and confidence and calling and courage. These are the things that can impact our thinking if they're not addressed and can prevent us from making the right choices. Timothy had to step into something that was new to him, that felt challenging to him. And Paul knew this. What I really need to give this guy isn't a bunch of how-tos. I just need to give him confidence. And if I can bring his confidence up, it'll help him follow through with what God wanted him to do with his life. Who should we listen to? Listen to people who build confidence and encourage God's best for your life. Here's another relationship, Moses and Jethro. You thought the word Jethro came from the Beverly Hillbillies, but it's actually from the Bible, okay? You know, Moses is at a point in Exodus 18 where he's just doing everything. He's leading Israel, and as the leader, it's not just about the big picture, where are we going and all of that, but it's also about the relationship struggles that are going on in the community. And so every time there's a challenge, they're coming to Moses and saying, you know, what should we do? This happened, that happened. How should we resolve this, Moses? And he's answering every question. And people are lined up, and it's taking forever, you know, to be able to get a word with Moses. And so people are getting worn out. Moses is getting worn out. To that end, Jethro sees all of this, his father-in-law, and he speaks up and speaks into the situation. He basically says this. He says, listen, Moses, why don't you teach the people so they can figure out their own problems, number one. And then he said, number two, why don't you get some people to serve under you who can be leaders of tens and hundreds and thousands so that you can delegate to them and you don't have to do it all. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 24, the scripture says, so Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he said. Who do we need to listen to? What voice do we need in our lives? We need a voice of wisdom. We need a voice of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20 says this: "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Jethro brought wisdom to Moses that was needed at that time, and it really rescued the situation and brought relief to the pressure that everyone was feeling. You know, in my own life, in my own story, many years ago, very early in ministry, I'd had a season of ministry. I was working in business at the time, and I was kind of at a crossroads where I was looking at my life and thinking, maybe I've done everything I'm supposed to do in ministry, and maybe now I should just move on with my business ambitions and go in that direction. And I had a friend in my world that I was talking to about this, and he shared a story with me, the story of Jacob and Esau. You might be familiar with it. Esau's out hunting. He's tired. And Jacob has been at home, and Jacob has cooked this stew. And so when he shows up, he's like really hungry. And Jacob makes a deal with Esau and says, "Well, if you want to give up your birthright, I'll give you a bowl of stew." Now, the birthright was like you're the first born in the family. There was like all these amazing rights that were for you. And it was really a sense of God's purposes for your life, that birthright was. And so he makes the exchange. So my friend tells me the story, and then he says to me, he says, I feel like the call of God on your life is your birthright, and business is like the bowl of stew. And that's the choice that you have to make. Now, when somebody tells you something like that, you don't just say, "Well, I wonder what if the game is on TV." You know what I'm saying? Like you take that to heart. You think about it. But that conversation helped me to process and to decide that I should not go for the stew, but stick with the calling. My friend brought me perspective, insight, wisdom, and encouragement all in one conversation. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says this: "As iron sharpens iron, so people can improve each other." Iron sharpens iron. That's the impact that happens out of relationships. You know, we've all had the experience of using things that are dull. Dull scissors, terrible experience. You know, cutting a turkey dinner with a dull knife, another horrible experience. We know what dull feels like. The job is harder than it should be. Things are less effective than they should be. They take longer. It's frustrating, all the rest of it. But you know what? Our lives can get like that too. Our lives can be at a place where things are harder than they should be, frustrating to us, not really having a sense of what to do to make it better. And we can be in that place where what we need is an iron sharpens iron experience, where we have somebody that speaks into our world that helps us. So here's my question. What's dull in your life? What is hard to do in your life? What's not going as it should be or as well as it should be? What is it that's frustrating you? What is it that's taking more effort than you would expect, but you're getting less results than you would expect? What needs to improve? That's probably the place where there's a need for a conversation. Somebody who could be your iron sharpens iron person in your life and help you to be able to do better. Think about it this way. What if Moses didn't have Jethro? What if Naaman didn't have the servant that spoke up? What if Esther didn't have a Mordecai? And what if Timothy didn't have a Paul in his life? If they didn't have these people and they didn't listen to what was spoken into their world, their decisions would have been very different, and so would the outcome of their life. But because of iron sharpens iron, their lives did better. Now, that's my introduction. I want to get into the message. And you have 3 points that I'm going to cover in the next 6 minutes. And I will do it in 6 minutes. But what I want to give you is this. I want to answer this question. How do you identify the right people? How do you identify the right people? And I want to give you 3 questions to help you identify the right people to listen to in your world. Here's the first one. What do they bring to the table? What do they bring to the table? And here's what I mean by that. Don't try to make one person the right person that you always talk to. You know, relationships are like a potluck dinner. You go to a potluck dinner and somebody brought salad, Somebody brought dessert, somebody brought the drinks, and somebody brought the casserole, and somebody brought a meat dish and an appetizer, and somebody brought dinner rolls. Thank God for dinner rolls. You know, everybody's bringing something. But here's the point. Everybody brings something different to the table. And we need to connect with the right people, not just a person. You know, if you're just always connecting to one person, think, oh, this is my person, this is who I, you know, eventually your relationship can actually become a little bit codependent, and it's really not the goal. That's why the scriptures talk so much about community. And Proverbs says, you know, that wisdom comes from what? A multitude of counselors. Why? Because you have a multitude of things that need input. And so we need to recognize the strengths of people who are around you and who are best suited to bring input at that particular time. You know, I have people in my world that if I spend time with them, I'm going to be de-stressed, I'm going to be encouraged, and have had a happy time. Would I ask them for advice in ministry and business? Not a chance. Why? That's not what they bring to the table. Don't have this mentality, and people can get this mentality of, well, this is my BFF, and so that's who I always talk to, my BFF. That's not what it's about. It's about recognizing that there are many different people in your world who hold different places of expertise and influence and value and can bring something to you that will help you. There are some people that you need to pursue a relationship with just because of what they can bring into your life. And here's the thing to understand, that is this, is that these relationships don't always just show up. You have to pursue them. You have to pursue them. There comes a point where it's like, this is where I'm going in life. I need to get the right person to speak into this. We have various things that need fuel in our life. Wisdom, understanding, encouragement, support, affirmation, faith, confidence. But they can come from different people in our world. Here's the second question to ask. What are the results of their conduct? What are the results of their conduct? You know, our society is full of armchair experts. People have never done anything, but they got an opinion. And they want you to read their book, take their course, pay attention to their comments on Facebook, or buy into their program, or whatever it is. People love to give their opinion, but when you're getting someone's advice, you need to consider the results of their own life. What have they accomplished in life? What have they built? What struggles have they overcome? How qualified are they? How is their family, their business, their marriage, their character doing? You know, are they smoking what they're selling, right? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 says this, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and then it says this, and consider the results of their conduct, imitate their faith. The scripture says, listen, don't just think about leaders because, oh, they've got this designation, they've got this title, all this. He says, listen, consider the results of their conduct. Everybody has an opinion, but not everybody has wisdom. And so what you want to do is you want to know the background of those who you're looking to receive from, know the platform, so to speak, out of which they speak, know the fruit of their choices in life, and that helps you to identify, this is the person I want to talk to about my world. Okay, here's the third. Here's the last one. And that is this. Here's a question you need to answer. Do they help me think? Do they help me think? You know, our tendency is to want to find somebody to answer our question. It's not always about finding people with the right answers, but rather finding people who will ask the right questions. I love how the servant of Naaman asks the question. Hey, if Elijah, the prophet, had have asked you to do something great, you would have done that, wouldn't you? That's a great question. Because it exposed the stupid that was going on in his thinking. Or Mordecai, he goes to Esther and he says, who knows if you've not attained royalty for such a time as this? It's a great question. It's like, hey, Esther, you're not just happen to be in this position. You're like the only person in this position. Don't you think there's a reason? Helped her think. We don't always need people who can just give us answers, but rather we need people who can help us think things through. People who can give you answers can kind of do you a disservice sometimes. People who ask questions help you think through the issues. These are people who will help you think through the situation rather than just becoming the answer person, they're training you on how to think wisely in the circumstance of life that you're in. Sometimes we just need help to think more clearly. Why? Because we've got to get out of the fog of emotion or the fog of misinformation or wrong perspective or even other people's wishes. And what we need is we need people who will ask us the right questions to help guide us in that thought process. Let's stand as we take time to pray. Father, I just thank you for everyone who is here. And I thank you, Lord, that we do have significant relationships in our world. Lord, relationships that we need to honor, that we need to recognize and celebrate. Lord, I thank you for helping us all to understand who brings what to the table in our life. Who brings what to the table, and to be able to access that, celebrate that, to be able to receive that. And Lord, where there's people here that might feel like, you know, I feel like something's missing from the table, Lord, I thank you for guiding them and finding the right people to answer and help guide them in their thinking with those areas of their world, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the relationships that we have, and may we, Lord, function in a healthy manner with them, so that our thinking stays wise, stays happy, and stays on track with the purposes of God for our life. With our heads bowed, I want to pray one more prayer. We've been talking about connections and connecting the people, but the primary connection that is needed in life is our connection to God. That connection is broken by sin. Sin, or living independent of God, doing life our way, actually creates a separation between us and him, because he is holy and our choices tend not to be. But Jesus came and died on a cross to pay the price of that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus paid the death penalty so that we no longer have a debt between us and the Father. Why? Because Christ paid for it. And now the Bible says that by putting our trust in what Jesus did for us, that we receive forgiveness and we can begin a relationship with that Heavenly Father. Today, if you are not sure and you are not settled and you have not decided, you can decide. I want that connection. I want that relationship. I want to know God. I want to walk with God in my world. Say, what do I do? What's the next step? The Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Savior, that he died for the sins of the world, and you confess with your mouth him is the Lord of your life, that is a decision to surrender to his leadership and to follow him with all your heart, that you are saved, that you have begun a relationship with God. That's the starting place. It's a prayer. It's a conversation. I want to lead you in that prayer, give you the opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit and to step out and say, today's my day. I'm making my connection to God. I'm no longer living independent of him. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for the sins of the world, including my sins. I ask you to forgive me, and I confess you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. From this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening with us today. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.